Good morning. Good morning and welcome to worship here at Kemnay Parish Church. A welcome to everybody who's watching on the live broadcast, especially our friends at Littlewood Court, and also those who are watching on the catch-up service. And Joshua, if you're watching, we hope you get better soon. I'm afraid Joshua's got the flu, which is why I'm here. I'm booming. I don't usually boom. Is it a bit loud? Is something a bit wrong with the sound?
My finger just slipped.
Oh, your finger just slipped. That's okay. So. Anne always has that effect on me. Yeah, so welcome here to the service this morning. I say Joshua is not very well this morning. He's been suffering from flu for the week. So we pray and hope that he gets better very quickly. I'm going to ask Sheila to come up and do the intimations. And she's got an announcement to make as well, haven't you?
So the intimations are the morning group programmes are available to pick up today, and Loaves and Fishes continue to offer opportunities to serve. If you're interested, please talk to Suzanne Bunton. And Finance and Stewardship are keen to know if anyone's interested in supporting the work of the church, and if so, to contact Jeff or Joyce Thomas, who will be happy to guide you along that path. Are there any other intimations from the congregation today? As session clerk, I would like to remind elders that the session meeting will take place on the 21st of January, a week on Tuesday. In addition, I have a more formal announcement to read, but first of all, some background information about that. So in June 2018, Presbytery agreed that it would form a special committee to review the Presbytery plan and to give a full report at the June 2020 Presbytery meeting. Presbytery appointed a review committee which began its work last year and which has requested that each congregation engage with a consultation on the Presbytery plan. Following a discussion with Presbytery in October, the review committee would like to proceed with sisting or cancelling the plan for a period of 5 months to allow an amended plan to be produced. This would mean that no congregation can, in that period of time, proceed with any vacancy procedure work, except those for whom permission to call was given by Presbytery less than 2 years ago. It gets complicated. The committee are considering sisting the plan solely with regards to charges and not in relation to buildings. A report from the review committee will be circulated to all Presbytery members prior to the Presbytery meeting and to all congregations through their clerks. Now the formal part. Excuse me. Notice is hereby given that in connection with the report of the Presbytery Plan Review Committee to be presented to the Presbytery of Gordon at its January meeting, each congregation of presbytery is cited to attend in its own interest. The Presbytery Plan Review Committee is to request to presbytery that the presbytery plan be sisted for a period of 5 months to allow the review committee to prepare an amended presbytery plan and to present it in June 20. The presbytery will meet to consider this matter at Inverurie West Church on Tuesday, the 14th of January at 7:30. That's this Tuesday. Congregations can address presbytery through their presbytery elder, minister, or interim moderator, or a designated person, and all will be heard. By order of presbytery, Ewan Clark, Ewan Glenn, Presbytery Clark.
Thank you, Sheila. Just a couple of other intimations. The Monday night Bible study will start again tomorrow night, and that'll be 7:30 at the Church Centre, and we'll be looking at the second letter of Peter. So it's 2 Peter, and we'll be starting at chapter 1, which is a good place to start, I always think. I don't know, is the Wednesday Bible study starting this week? Does anyone know? Possibly depends on whether Joshua is well enough or not. But, well, we don't know at the moment. But I would encourage people to think about going along to the Bible studies. They're informal affairs. You don't have to know lots of things about the Bible before you go along, but just have an interest in learning more and actually getting into more depth about what the Bible is teaching. And it's usually done in an informal, discussive way. So while it is a led Bible study, there's a lot of opportunity for people to think about the passages that we're looking at and actually say, well, what does that mean? How does it affect me? And so it's actually a really good way of getting to know what God wants for us. There was one other, was there another one? Yes, the other intimation was that after the service, if people would like someone to pray with them about any issue for themselves or for another person, then the opportunity will be available, and Sheila and Rita will be available over in this corner here after the service, if anybody would like to avail themselves of that. As you can see from the order of service, the service today is called Encounters with Jesus. It's one of a series that Joshua has started, and today we're looking at hearing the call. And Jesus does call us to come to himself. He calls us to hear him. He calls us to follow him. And we ask that God will be with us this morning and that we will listen to him. So let's just open our service in prayer. Lord, we thank you that you've called us to be here together. We thank you that you're here amongst us. We thank you that you're here to speak to us and you're here to receive our praises. Please help us to listen to you, help us to receive from you, and help us to glorify you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we stand and sing our first song this morning? Hear the Call of the Kingdom.
Thank you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Let us pray together. We are so fortunate that in Britain we have the freedom and space to develop our own individual personalities and abilities. Guide us, Lord, to recognise and use our talents to benefit our Kirk family and our community. We pray today for our stewardship team and thank them for their work in managing our Kirk's finances and trust them to use our offerings for the continuation and extension of your goodness here and throughout the world. Dear Lord, your paintbrush never disappoints. This has been a week of contrasts. We had one extremely grey, very, very windy day, followed by a day exhibiting a beautiful blue, cloudless sky. And then we woke up to a white blanket heralding a sudden temperature drop. Such variety in the space of 3 days. Thank you, Lord, for providing us with such wonderful panoramas, which help us each day to wake up and admire the transformations that you have performed and given us in this country the basis of many a conversation. Thank you, Lord, for our friends and acquaintances. Remind us always to appreciate these bonds. Thank you for the knowledge you have opened up for us and help us to continue to enjoy developing our understanding of your creation and how we can care for it and enhance it for all inhabitants, both living and inanimate, and also for our future generations. Guide those in powerful positions in our world to stop making decisions impulsively and take time to consider the consequences that actions may have on those people who do not have such elevated status. We ourselves know that we can do or use hurtful words to others. We regret these outbursts and pray for your guidance should we meet such situations in the future. Be with David today as we revisit how the four fishermen left their nets and followed Jesus. A momentous decision, and they became strong and faithful disciples. We too are your disciples, Lord. Guide us to be more like your son, Jesus, as you continue to walk alongside us through our lives. You are our light always. Let us all join together to praise you, Lord, as we say together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. Our next song is From the Breaking of the Dawn. I think this is a lovely song, and it's one that reminds us that God honours his word, that when he asks us to follow him, he gives us lots of promises to encourage us, and he's always going to honour those promises. So let's stand and sing From the Breaking of the Dawn.
Stand on every promise.
Can the children come out and join me, please? Good morning. Hello. 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 And hello, Dad. Now, what happened this week? Did something special happen this week? Was it special? Did you go back to school? Oh, I so miss school. Oh, dear. I'm afraid I can't go there anymore, but I can learn things. Why do you go to school? Why do you go to school? Why do you go to school, Daniel?
To learn.
Sue? To learn. To learn. Okay, and what sort of things do you learn? Okay, Samuel?
Maths.
Maths. Oh, gosh. Do you like learning maths? You're not sure yet. Okay, but you learn it. What do you learn, Heidi? Sorry?
Writing.
Okay, and do you like learning to write? And why do you like learning to write?
Because I don't know.
No, don't know. Well, do you like reading?
Yeah.
Why do you like reading?
Because you learn different stuff from it.
Okay, you learn different stuff from it. And do you like books? Mm. You like books, yes. So what do you like about books? Oh, you like reading adventure books, so you like the stories, and it starts to make you think, doesn't it? And you think about, oh, what's going on? What else do you learn at school? What do you learn over? Do you learn over here? What do you learn over here? What do you learn, Emily? Mm-hmm. Well, do you learn an instrument? Have you ever learnt an instrument? I know that you have, because I've heard you play. So what? So never ask a question where you don't know the answer. So what instrument do you play? Okay, the piano. Now, did you know how to play a piano before you started to learn? No. So when you started to learn to play the piano, that helped you to play it? Yes. Wow, that's very clever. See, I'm quite clever, really, aren't I? Yes, there's a teacher there, you see. Yeah. So, when you learn to play the piano, do you like playing the piano?
Yes.
Now, we like listening to you play the piano, so you must enjoy playing it as well. So, you're learning these things. So, you're going to school and you're learning things. Are there any other things that you learn? Now, I know that you do something which is really very scary. You play judo, don't you? You learn judo. Did you know how to do judo until you went to judo lessons? No. So have you learnt how to sew people? But you're a very kind person, aren't you? You don't sew people unless you're supposed to. Right, okay. But you enjoy doing that, don't you? And what do you learn? What sort of thing do you like? Do you do any sports or anything? Do you play football? Do you do? And do you enjoy playing football? You do. And does somebody teach you how to kick the ball and how to pass it and things like that? Do you practice that? Okay, so does that make you a better footballer? It does, doesn't it? So if you do all these things, now you play football as well, don't you? Do you play football, Daniel? Yeah. And do you enjoy that? And do you like practice?
Usually.
Okay. And do you get dirty when you play football? Yes. That's the best bit I always found, getting dirty. So you do all these things and you learn and you follow a teacher, don't you? So you've got teachers or somebody who teaches you how to do these things. So why do you come to church?
To learn about Jesus.
Well done. What a great answer. To learn about Jesus. So why do we learn about Jesus? Why do we do that? Why do we learn about Jesus? That's a good question, isn't it? What do you think? You got any ideas?
So that we can worship him.
So that we can worship him. Well done. Yeah, that's very good. So Jesus actually wants us to know about him. He wants us to understand who he is, and he wants us to actually follow him. He says that I am real, and that I have got a very important role for you in your life. I want you to live for me. Now, as you grow up, as you learn more about Jesus, you'll come to understand more about him, and you'll need to be able to think about him and think, do I really want to follow this Jesus? And it's something that every single one of us has to ask ourselves. Do we want to follow Jesus? Do I want to give my life to him? And do I want him to be my Lord and my Master? And do I want him to be my friend and my guide and all the wonderful things that he can do for us? And this is something that we learn through church, we learn from each other, and Jesus teaches us himself through our friends and our relatives and through those in the church itself. And so that's something that we need to think about through our lives, is do we want to follow Jesus? And one of the things that we're going to be looking at today is going to be looking at Jesus when he called the first disciples, those who were followers of his, and he called them to stop fishing and come and follow him and be fishers of men. And that meant telling other people about Jesus and giving them the opportunity to come and follow him for themselves. So that's what we're going to be doing today. And that's what I encourage you to do, is to think about Jesus and think about yourself and whether you really want to follow him. Okay, so shall we pray together? Shall we do that? Dear Lord, we ask that you'll be with all our children. We ask that you'll be with them and help them to see you and learn from you. And we pray that you'll bless the parents as they raise them and they bring them up and guide them in the way that they should go. And Lord, we ask that you'll meet with each one of them and bring them into your kingdom. We ask this for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Okay, thank you very much. You've been very helpful this morning. So we want to go back to your seats. Well, one of the things that Jesus tells us is that he loves us and that we're special. And we're going to sing the song, I'm Special. And you can sing it because you are special, and you can sing it, I'm special. Not me, but I as individuals. Okay, so I'm special.
This morning's Bible reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 1, reading from verse 16, and it can be found on page 1002 in the Church Bibles. Mark chapter 1, verse 16. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishing. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. God will bless this reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Adam. Our next song is "Blessed Be the Name of the Lord." They say Joshua is starting a series on encounters with Jesus, and he's going to be going through a number of people who had encounters with Jesus and how they responded to him. I would actually invite you to have your Bibles handy, because we're going to look at a few passages today, because we've got a story in front of us which Adam has just read for us, but really to understand that story, we need to have a look at other passages, because they actually build up the story and give us a bit more detail. And we'll be looking at those passages as well as this one. So I do encourage you to have your Bible handy, and I'll tell you where to go and find the passages we're going to read. But they're all in the New Testament, and they're all a few pages away from the one that we're looking at here in Mark. So let us just pray before we start. Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that you have given us the word and that your spirit enables us to understand. Please be with us this morning and help us to hear what you have to say to each and every one of us, as individuals and as a fellowship of your people. We ask this in Jesus our Lord. Amen. This story is a very familiar one. I think probably everybody knows this story. And if not, you've probably sung the song, "I Will Make You Fishers of Men," which comes from this passage. And because it's a familiar story, it's one we can gloss over without a lot of thought. But if we stop to think about this account, which is in Mark, we seem to have actually quite a peculiar event. It's an event where four people abandon their day-to-day lives to follow someone who appears to be personally unknown to them. Have you thought about that? If you look at the story just as it's related, that's what it appears to display. And they do that for the simple reason that the person calls them to do so. So someone comes along, he says, "Follow me." They give up their fishing practice and follow him. And there's no indication that they've actually known him before, and they just follow him. It is odd, isn't it, when you think about it? Would you do the same? How would you advise family or friends in such a situation? And I would say that we would certainly counsel our children against following such an example. So it's a very odd story. And yet it's one which we just accept and think, oh, isn't that great? They went and they became his disciples. So in Mark's Gospel, the story is very brief and with very little detail. And the account in Matthew's Gospel is actually very similar and also has very little detail. But we know, because we know the rest of the story, that this was a profound event. It not only changed the lives of the four people involved, but it also led to the changing of the world through their subsequent witness to what happened to the one they followed thereafter. So what we're going to do this morning is to look at the story more closely and work out something of what was going on and then see what it means to us as followers of Jesus today. So that's why I've asked you to have the Bibles ready so we can look at other passages. But first of all, let's look at the context which is set out for us in Mark's Gospel. And if we look at verse 14 and verse 15, which weren't read out for us this morning, but if we look at this, because it does give us context, you can see that, and I'll just read them to you, after John was put in prison, and that's John the Baptist. There's quite a few Johns in these stories, so it's quite important to say which one we're talking about. After John the Baptist was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." So the story takes place in the context of the ministry of John the Baptist. And remember that John the Baptist was the prophet who heralded the coming of the Messiah. He called Jews to repent of their sins, to receive God's forgiveness, and return to the true faith in their Lord. Whatever people might have made of it, John's ministry would have been one of wonderment to the Jews, because it was the first time that a prophet had come to proclaim a message direct from God for over 500 years. Can you imagine that? When you read through the Old Testament, there's many prophecies, there are many prophets, but after the exile and after the return, there were some prophecies then, but then after that period, 500 years without any prophets. And the people knew that the prophecies in the past were still to be fulfilled by God, and they were wondering, when is this going to happen? So suddenly here comes John the Baptist proclaiming God's word as a prophet. Can you imagine the excitement that would have generated? Now, from an early age, all Jews of the time would have been taught the scriptures. They would have been taught them in the temple or in the synagogue, depending on where they were, as well as in their homes. So all Jews from an early age would have known the scriptures, they would have known promises, they would have known about God. They would have been familiar with the prophecies in the Hebrew Bible about the Messiah who would redeem and restore Zion. What that would mean and how it would happen was the subject of much debate. and especially amongst the priests and religious authorities. However, it was likely to be something in the consciousness of most, if not all, Jews of that day, that one day God would fulfill his promises to redeem his people. So I think we can be sure that people would have been talking about John the Baptist and his message, and were wondering what God was going to be doing. And I think they would be doing this even if they hadn't heard John for themselves. And in Luke's gospel, and I won't ask you to look at this because I'll just read it out for you, it says that we are told that the people were waiting expectantly and were all wondering in their hearts if John might possibly be the Messiah. So Luke just gives us this little insight into the excitement that was being generated by the ministry of John the Baptist. Now, when John the Baptist was preaching, Jesus came along to him and he baptized Jesus. And when John met Jesus, he said something very surprising. He said to Jesus, before Jesus came along, I baptize you with water, but one more powerful than I will come, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. People have been asking John the Baptist if he was the Messiah. And he said, no, I'm not. I'm telling you that the Messiah is coming, and he's one that I'm not worthy to untie the thongs on his sandals. So you can imagine the excitement that John had generated just by his own ministry was heightened when they realized that someone was coming afterwards, that it was going to be even more impressive and more important in God's plan than John himself. So from this, I think we can say that from their education, from their knowledge of the scriptures, from having heard about John, even without any more detail than we've got in Mark's gospel, that Simon, Andrew, James and John, who were the four disciples in Mark's passage, would have known about John's teachings and were probably sharing in the excitement and expectation that God was about to do something new. However, the passage in Mark tells us something more. In verse 14, it says, after the John the Baptist had been imprisoned, he'd been imprisoned by Herod Antipas, and Jesus then started his ministry teaching in Galilee, which is where the Sea of Galilee was, funny enough, and that's where this story takes place. So Jesus was actually preaching in the vicinity. And what was he preaching? It says in verse 15, the time has come, he said, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. So, putting it together, we know that Jesus was preaching in the vicinity of the Sea of Galilee, and in association with the knowledge of the teaching of John the Baptist, the sense of anticipation for those who were listening would have been heightened. We could surmise, therefore, that before Jesus called them, the four would have known about both the teaching of John the Baptist and Jesus. So actually, Jesus was not such an unknown quantity as we might at first think. So there's beginning to be a bit more sense here, isn't there? However, there is more that we can know when we look at the accounts in the other Gospels. And if we look at the Gospel of John, and this is in chapter 1, verse 35 to 42. Turn it up. You're going to find it faster than me. There we go. It's on page 1064. So, in chapter 1, verse 35 to 42, and I'll read this out. The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples, and that's John the Baptist in this case. When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning round, Jesus saw them. He saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, "Where are you staying?" "Come," he replied, "and you will see." So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what Jesus had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah," that is the Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated is Peter. Ah, so we have a bit more detail here. So what Mark doesn't tell us, because it wasn't really what Mark wanted to put across, he wanted to put across other things, but what John tells us is that Andrew had actually been a disciple of John the Baptist. So while he was a part-time disciple of John the Baptist and a part-time fisherman, he actually did know directly what John the Baptist had been teaching. So he would have known firsthand what John had taught about himself and one that was to come. And the day after John had baptized Jesus, because that's the context of this passage from John, Jesus had been anointed with the Holy Spirit at that baptism, and Jesus then passed by the following day. When John declared that Jesus was the Lamb of God, Andrew and another followed Jesus and spent the day with him. On the basis of what Andrew heard from Jesus, he went and found his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," and then brought him to Jesus. Jesus then gives Simon a new name, Peter, which means rock. So we now know that before the event in Mark, Andrew and Simon Peter already had met Jesus and had started to believe that he was or could be God's promised Messiah. And this starts to make more sense to us, doesn't it? But something else needs to account for their allegiance to Jesus at the expense of their day-to-day lives, which we hear in the account in Mark. Andrew had been a disciple of John the Baptist, but seems to have maintained his fishing life on the Sea of Galilee, at least part-time, as I've said. And Simon Peter also had returned to fishing even after his encounter with Jesus. So they'd met Jesus, they knew about his teaching, but they carried on fishing. So what changed that made them respond to Jesus as set out in Mark's account? So if we go to Luke's Gospel and chapter 5, and this is on page 1032 in your Bibles. So chapter 5, 1 to 11. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, which is the Sea of Galilee, with the people crowding round him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. And so Luke's account, and Luke was an historian who went and spoke to lots of witnesses, he puts together a much fuller story than we have in Mark. And the detail has been filled in. Andrew and Simon had known John the Baptist and already met with Jesus, but they kept on fishing with their family. When Jesus came to the Sea of Galilee, he came to where he knew Andrew and Simon would be. He was being followed by such a throng of people that he needed to borrow a boat to get enough room to teach the assembled crowd on the shore of the lake. He asked if he could borrow Simon's boat, and of course, Simon, knowing him and having heard him speak, agreed, and Simon would have had the best seat during Jesus' teaching to the crowd, because he was in the boat with him. He would have heard absolutely everything. Afterwards, after Jesus had finished teaching, Jesus gave him a sign that a fisherman could not ignore. That night, they'd been hard at work, and they'd been fishing but catching nothing. And Jesus told him to row out into deeper water and let down his nets. And you can imagine Simon saying, "But I've been out all night, and I really didn't catch anything. But because you say so, and I've got trust in you, I will go and do that." And what happened? So many fish were caught that Simon and his fellow fishermen, including Andrew, James and John, and that's John the Apostle, were astonished. They heard the teaching and seen the miraculous catch of fish. They knew that Jesus was no ordinary teacher. Simon's response was this: "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." It's quite a surprising response, isn't it, to a big catch of fish? But the catch of fish signified so much more than Jesus' knowledge of fishing. It acknowledged that he was God in some way, or sent by God. They weren't quite sure at this stage. The story unfolds, as we know, in the Gospels. But he knew he was indeed in the presence of someone sent by God. And as a result, he became aware of his own sinfulness and need for forgiveness. Is this a surprising response? Well, we do not know what Jesus taught the crowd, but it clearly had to do with his message of repentance and turning to God. The words of the message were powerful, but were cemented in Simon's mind and heart by the miraculous catch of fish. So Simon knew for certain that he was in the presence of someone sent by God, and started to believe that this person was indeed the promised Messiah. In response, he recognized his own unworthiness, and in holy fear, he fell at the knees of Jesus and repented. It was then that Jesus told them to leave everything and follow him, and they did so full time. Instead of being fishermen, they would be fishers of men, which they later understood to mean that they would be used by the Lord to bring others into his kingdom and build his church. So by looking at these Gospels, we have gained a more complete account of the calling of Andrew, Simon, James and John. And I think it makes a lot more sense that they were responding to someone who they'd actually met, who they got to know, and they then had this miraculous catch of fish, which really confirmed that Jesus had been sent by God. And so they left their nets and they followed him. And the story unfolds in the rest of the Gospels. So what do we learn from this? Jesus called Andrew, Simon, James and John to follow him. And they each had to respond individually. When Jesus called them, they really didn't know a lot about him. They just knew he was very special and worth following. But they didn't know what following him would entail or how it would all end. But nevertheless, in faith, they left their old way of life and followed Jesus. And thanks to their testimony, as we have in the four Gospels and the other writings in the New Testament, we know how the story ended. We know about Jesus' teaching. We know about Jesus' death, his resurrection and his ascension. We also know about the birth of the church at Pentecost with the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and how the church was built on the eyewitness testimony and teaching of the apostles. We also know that through the death and resurrection of Jesus, forgiveness came into the world. We also know that God gives us new life if we accept Jesus as our Lord and Saviour. We have all this evidence before us. And looking at the evidence of the Bible, in many ways we have far greater evidence of the Godhead of Jesus than those four disciples had at the time of their first calling. Have you thought about that? That you have more evidence in front of you than these four disciples had at their first calling. And certainly we have far more evidence than a large catch of fish. So how do we respond to this evidence? At the beginning of a new year, there is really actually no more important question for each and every one of us. All of us here have heard the message many times. We know about Jesus, but have we actually really responded to him? And let's all ask ourselves these questions. Have I truly recognized my sin and need for forgiveness before God? Have I truly recognized my sin and need for forgiveness before God? Have I asked Jesus to be my personal Lord and Saviour? Have I asked Jesus to be my personal Lord and Saviour? Have I asked him to give me new life and a new relationship with him? These are really important questions. And if we have not, don't delay any longer. Approach him in faith, knowing that he wants to forgive you and make you new through what he did on the cross. If you don't know how to do this, ask someone in the church to pray with you. Ask Joshua, ask any of us. For those of us who have given our lives to God, ask ourselves these questions. How closely do I follow? How closely do I follow Jesus? How strong is my desire to grow and know him better in all situations? How strong is my desire to serve him wherever he leads me? How strong is my belief that he will equip and empower me with his Holy Spirit to follow him? These are questions we need to ask ourselves every day and ask that God will answer our questions honestly and enable us to come and follow him. So let us ask God to help us to recognize his call and to help us respond to him as individuals and as a fellowship so that we can all glorify him and become fishers of men and women. Amen. We do need to think about these questions. We need to ask ourselves honestly, and we need to ask ourselves honestly before God. And we ask that God will enable us to answer honestly. Because he does want to build a people of power. He wants to build us as a church into a people of power here in Kemnay. And he wants us to reach out to this community with his love and his forgiveness. So I'm building a people of power. prayers for the world. Let us pray. Lord, as we listen to the news and as we live life, we see that there's so much in the world that is wrong. We see so much that disturbs us and upsets us. We see so much that makes us rail against injustice, against cruelty, against selfishness. And Lord, if it affects us in this way, we know that the impact on you and the way you see things is even stronger, because you are holy, you are God, and Lord, you hate sin. We thank you for the wonderful message of the gospel, that you came into the world to save sinners. You came into the world to bring us back to yourself, bring us back to righteousness, to bring us back to your truth, and to live in justice. Lord, as we look at the world, we pray for a number of the situations which concern us. We pray for the situation in Iran and the standoff with the West. Lord, you know how recent circumstances and recent actions have ignited the tensions there. And Lord, we pray for wisdom on all sides to actually stop and think and to really measure what we do and say. Help people to recognize that their own interests are not necessarily those of others, and that there are always two sides to see. And we pray that you will bring hope and peace to the country of Iran and the neighboring countries. And Lord, we pray that your people there will be praying, and that they will know your love with them. And that, Lord, even in the midst of this turmoil, they will be emboldened to proclaim you, the message of peace, the message of hope in the Saviour. We pray for the country of Palestine, Israel. We pray for justice there too. We pray against the oppression of peoples. And we pray against all the hardliners who again would try and bring injustice and try and prejudice the interests of other people. We pray for peacemakers there, amongst the Palestinians, amongst the Jews, amongst the Arabs. And we pray that your people will be really at the heart of bringing peace, and that your gospel will be declared in the land of your birth. Lord, we pray for Nigeria, where there's been an upsurge in violence by Islamic extremists, and there have been many more people kidnapped and killed by these extremists. We pray for Pastor Lawan and his church, a number of whom have been taken captive and held prisoner. We pray for them that you'll keep them safe. And pray for the many more young people, especially women, who've been kidnapped over the years and whose whereabouts is unknown. And they've been kidnapped because of their faith in you. We ask that you will sustain them, that you will uphold them and give them hope. And we pray that you'll bring them release. And may their confidence in you be a witness to their captors, Lord. And we pray that you will really move in those captors, and that they will themselves repent and turn to you. We pray for Mali and the neighbours to Nigeria. We pray for Jen and Richard Margetts and their family. And we pray for their church and their fellow workers. We ask that you'll keep them safe and the churches that they deal with. And that, Lord, those churches will grow, even though there is tension and fear around them. May they hold firm and fast to you, Lord. And Lord, we ask for your intervention in the bushfires in Australia, the terrifying enormity of those fires, and the reality of the drought that's been there for 3 years. Help people to recognize what we're doing to this wonderful planet that you created. Help us to change our lives in the way that we use this planet. Help us to respect your creation, and help us to look after the climate and all the diversity of wildlife and animals and plants and everything that's in it, to look after the systems that sustain our lives as well as this amazing place. Forgive us for abusing the planet and using it for short-term profit. And may our leaders, our politicians and ourselves live ways which look after the planet and halt these changes. And in the meantime, we pray that the fires themselves in Australia, which is just a symptom of this change, will actually die out and that people will be safe. And please bring rains, we ask. We ask for all those who are ill or suffering, and especially those who are suffering from long-term conditions. We ask that you'll give healing, give peace, give hope, and that you'll look after them and their carers and their helpers. And may we extend love to them. We pray for your church, Lord. We pray for the church in Scotland and throughout Britain, indeed throughout Europe and the world, that we will keep following you, that we will give our lives to you, and that we'll follow you where you lead us, and that we'll be your light to our communities, light to our families and to our friends. And may you be glorified through us. May you make us into fishers of men and women, for your name's sake, Lord. Amen. Our final hymn, our closing hymn, is We Shall Stand With Our Feet on the Rock Jesus. As we close the service, remember to ask ourselves, have I asked Jesus to be my personal Lord and Saviour? How strong is my desire to follow him and make him my Lord in every part of my life? Lord, help us to really ask these questions and challenge ourselves in the light of your love and your grace. And may the love and grace of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, fill us and lead us this day and forevermore. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. sing along. Okay? I will make you fishers of men, fishers of men, fishers of men. I will make you fishers of men if you fall.